Oh, before recording, check if Jacob has anything he can make noise with.
Gucci gang.
Okay.
Just sweet. This.
We should be fine there.
What's that? There was that old, that like girl with giant eyes that would like, with her Starbucks drink. Here's the tea.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember her having giant eyes. I remember the acrylic nails.
Oh, she didn't swirl it. She went.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure she had giant eyeballs. It's either giant eyeballs or a giant mouth. One of the two.
All right. Hello, and welcome to the Wilt Chamberlain episode of the Hoop Theory Podcast, aka episode 100, which is, of course, in honor of his career-high 100-point night against the Knicks in 1962. Recording this one on the evening of Monday, September 16th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. My name is Logan Wertman, and as usual, I am joined by my centennial co-host, Jacob Roth. Jacob, how does it feel to be on the second Wilt Chamberlain episode?
It feels great. I am a Milford Eagle. I am no Centennial Bronco.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about it.
I don't know if that even dawned on you, but no. That's just class C1, middle of the road, high school Nebraska stuff going on there. That was pointless to bring up. Anyway, I like the adjective. It's themed because we've made it. I'm going to fix my camera here. To 100 episodes. That's a big milestone. If we were consistent, that would be almost 2 years.
Yeah. I think it's been about 3 years now.
We've had some lulls and some ups and some so it's fine. Yeah. But no, it's awesome. 100's a big deal, so we figured it should be fancy-ish ahead of the season starting, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah. We're going to be doing a top 10 all-time list. We're both going to be giving our picks for that, going back and forth, probably arguing. Who knows? But Jacob, right off the bat, I think you had something you wanted to top off the show with.
I did. Last time we recorded was, I believe it was the Thursday
before September 5th.
September 5th. Mm-hmm. And I know that we have a lot of Nuggets fans that listen to the podcast. That's probably the biggest demographic of people that we have.
Sorry to interrupt, but I saw today in the last 3 months now that our podcast distributor has updated the way they do their analytics. So it's like more accurate or whatever. It excludes bots and everything. Our number one city now is Singapore in the last 3 months.
Oh, cool.
Somehow. But
that's so fun.
I don't know if they're all Nuggets fans, but there's a bunch of Singaporeans listening to the show.
Well, if you were a Singaporean that likes Colorado Buffalo football, respectfully, eat a bag of wieners, because that was awesome. on the September 7th, Nebraska beat down on Colorado rather aggressively. I was there. It was a raucous environment. It was a good time. They're not good, which kind of stinks. Like, I wish we beat
Colorado's
crap out of... We're fine.
I saw, aren't we ranked 23 now?
Yeah. But
it's pretty big. When was the last time we were ranked?
2016.
You had that locked and loaded.
Oh, yeah, I did. It was, I definitely know exactly what it was. And I remember when we fell out. Because what's messed up is, and I believe it was the 2014 season, we were ranked top 10. And then we went on the all-time slides of just
down the toilet.
And then we are Phoenix rising from the ashes, thanks to Matt Rhule himself and Dylan Raiola and the black shirts. And I would happily.
Can we talk about that? Dylan Raiola? I thought this on my own before I heard all the discourse about it. Why is he Patrick Mahomes 2.0? Like, why is he trying to do that? Why does he look like exactly like him? Why does he?
Well, he's Polynesian and he can't help it.
The hairdo, wearing 15.
Okay.
His warm-ups before the game.
Every kid. The warm-ups is the only thing that I don't get. He wears 15 because of Tim Tebow. Like, he's worn 15 from before Patrick Mahomes being a thing.
I also heard he chose Nebraska over Georgia because the jerseys look more like the Chiefs.
Okay, that person is legitimately stupid. That's... Hold on. I gotta compute the mental gymnastics. He just,
it's not... I mean, when you look at him from afar... Yeah.
It's wild.
In the Nebraska jersey.
But, like, the haircut thing, I think that, like, is... There's a bunch of people his age that get that haircut. He didn't have to get a perm to get that haircut. He just has... That hair, I guess. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe he gets perms. I don't really know.
I think he did get permed. I thought. This also might be misinformation.
The Mahomes jump thing, that's a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
But also, the reason he went to Nebraska has zero to do with the fact...
I thought that was probably a joke, but maybe there's something there. Who knows? I mean, obviously, that's not the only reason he would be interested in Nebraska. It's not like that's like,
that's
oh,
like
find
almost
a team.
A
that
not reason at all.
It couldn't be even a tiebreaker or something like that.
No, the reason he went to Nebraska is because his dad, jersey's retired there. He like wants
but wasn't
to go
he
there.
Commit? Wasn't he committed at Georgia before?
Yeah, then but there's like a million different. I would argue.
I'm just saying his dad already had his jersey retired back when he was committed to Georgia. So is that like it was like a non-decision?
But Nebraska had a coaching change like 6 months before he committed to Georgia.
Yeah.
Which would be kind of a big wrench in the works if you were like thinking about it. And then also if you hear the story about Scott Frost's attempted recruiting story, I can't believe anyway, it doesn't matter. It is weird. The warm-up thing is the only thing that really gets me. Because, like, why would you not try to emulate greatness? Like, oh, if I have the ability to throw the football sidearm and get the ball where it needs to go, why wouldn't you just do that if you can? Like, we don't make fun of Kobe for being, like, Michael Jordan clone.
That's true. And I saw a lot of people making that comparison. But I feel like today, if we had 18 or 17-year-old Kobe Bryant, like the way what he was doing at that age, but if he was doing it right now, we would be making fun of it.
Yeah, we do. His name is Jason Tatum. We already do that. It's a thing.
Yeah, sure.
And that's fine. People can make fun of him. Haters gonna hate. I just know I have 3 years of a quarterback at Nebraska, and I'm gonna savor every second of it. I'm going to enjoy it with all my bones and everything that I can.
Mm-hmm.
Just savor this moment because. This dude, this kid, this 18, 19-year-old adult male makes throws that I have never seen anybody that's ever worn a Nebraska jersey make.
Also, this just clicked with me. Isn't Tommy Frazier's number 15?
Yeah.
Why is he allowed to wear it?
So Nebraska has so many retired numbers. There's only three retired numbers.
Oh.
Where you
and
are
Tommy
never
Frazier's
allowed
not one of
to
them?
Wear it.
I would have bet money on him being one of the three.
It's like Dave Remington, I think, is one of them, which is like the guy that an award for the best center is named after.
I know exactly who it is. And then
it's like
Rogers?
No. It's like...
Sue?
One of them's in the 60s. It's not Sue. It's like... No, Rogers might be one of them.
Is that like 27 or something like that? I don't know why I think 27, but...
For who?
For Rodgers, 30-something.
Just 20.
Oh, just 20.
Remington might... I should remember it, but I'm not going to remember the numbers, and I don't want to pull it up. Mm-hmm. But it's like 60. It's like two linemen, and maybe it is Johnny Rodgers. Maybe he's the skill position guy, where no one can wear that number anymore.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
79's the other one that I don't think people can wear.
For O-line.
60, 79, and it must be 20, because I don't think we have a 20. Anyway, and also it's harder because in college... You have
so many players.
More.
Yeah.
So it's like, wait, and you can have a guy wear 15 on offense and a guy wear 15 on defense, but it's difficult. So
they should add a third digit like they do in AAU games, you know, at basketball, how they have like three digit numbers.
Yeah. Well, they did that for, speaking of the Colorado game, Pride of Nebraska, Terrence Bud Crawford, boxer. His jersey, he had a Nebraska jersey, and it said 140, which is his weight class.
Oh, nice.
No,
that is cool.
That whole game,
Wasn't Derek White at it?
Yeah, he was.
My brother told me about that. Yeah.
I'm just going to get angry.
Why would you get angry about that?
No, Baylor Shireman brought him there. The turncoat traitor loser was like, let's take him to a Nebraska game. No, you don't get to claim Nebraska anymore, guy. I'm not a gatekeeper, but I am today. You decided to go to Creighton. I wish they would have put Baylor Shireman up on the screen so he could have gotten booed. I wish they would have. Because I know he would have been booed. And the only people that would have been cheering are the Creighton people that have to cheer for Nebraska because their poverty university can't afford a football program.
All right.
Anyway.
I think that's enough Nebraska talk.
Yeah. Shout out. That was a great moment. We could cut that whole thing, honestly. It got my juices flowing, though. I'm ready to roll.
Yeah, no. Since we're already 10 minutes in, we should probably thank everybody for listening and ask to please be sure to hit us up on Patreon or buy me a coffee if you would like to support us. That's patreon.com/hooptheory and buymeacoffee.com/hooptheory. All our links can also be found in the description of both the show and the episode, wherever you're watching or listening to this. We would also greatly appreciate it if you would rate the show, leave a like or a comment. Of course, be sure to subscribe and follow the feed. And lastly, we'd love it if you would send something into our mailbag for us to read and react to, basketball related or otherwise. You can send those over to hooptheory.mailbag@gmail.com. Without further ado, let's get into the rest of today's show. We should probably mention our YouTube jersey giveaway. Another thing to do while we're doing housekeeping stuff.
So if people were around for TikTok, which that official, did it get to him?
Yes, it did. Like last week. So
sick. Okay. So had some miscommunication on my part. It was entirely this half of the Hoop Theory podcast fault, but it got to him. Did he like, I don't, hopefully he's good with it.
He seemed excited. Yeah.
That's good to know. Cause I was a silly goose. Anyway, it'll be kind of the same thing. At TikTok, when we got to 5,000, there was a TikTok that comment on this and you'll get it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do it at YouTube with 1,000 subscribers and we'll make like a little video that you'll go comment under what jersey you want because we'd love to get to 1,000 and maybe, just maybe, we'll do more of those moving forward. So if you're around and you are proactive, you can, you know, get involved in a bunch of them. So head on over to YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we can grow there as a platform that's more permanent, it seems, than TikTok. Which
less
officially,
likely to be taken down by the government.
Yeah, I looked at it. I think it's officially January 15th is the day that TikTok will no longer be, you know, able to be used in the U.S., technically speaking. But there's caveats that can extend the window. So we have at least until January 2025. Before it gets shut down. But it sounds like it's likely that it won't even be shut down at that point because either TikTok will follow through and do what the US asks, which is the most unlikely probably. There's another version of this that can be that if they're in the midst of making a deal, then the window can be extended by 90 days. And then the other version or the other outcome could be that TikTok or ByteDance, their parent company, can appeal the U.S.'s claim or the U.S.'s, you know.
Which I believe they sued like today.
Oh, today. Okay. And apparently that can tie up things pretty much indefinitely. That can make the whole thing kind of last a lot longer. So it sounds like TikTok might be living a little bit longer.
Sorry,
than.
They sued them a long time ago. This just something happened like Friday.
Oh, makes sense. So. Yeah, I guess just given the rundown basically of TikTok's timeline, a little bit confusing, but we should have a decent amount of time left to try to continue to grow there. So hopefully we keep getting our numbers there, get to 10K. That's the next milestone, you know?
I'll buy someone a car.
Yeah, so.
That was a joke. I'm not going to do that. Yeah. I can't buy myself a car. I drive a 2000. I drive a 2004 Acura TL. I love it, but I can't buy somebody else.
Is that true?
Yeah.
You drive a 2004
Acura TL. Yeah.
That's what your car is. It does not look that old,
dude. It was a fancy car back in the day.
Okay.
It's an 04 Acura TL with 217,000 miles on it, something like that.
Nice.
We're on the road to 300,000, essentially, which we'd love to be in subscribers also. Let's get back to basketball.
Yeah. So the couple of topics that I'd like to quickly hit before we get into our lists, which is, you know, the point of this episode 100. The first thing is clearing up something from last episode, the award names, which we I tried to make like a thing here at our Hoop Theory domain, you know, for us to, whenever we talk about the awards in the NBA, to call them by their names, try to start that trend, basically. Each of the awards has a name that's, you know, named after an NBA legend who kind of represents that award, like Michael Jordan Trophy is the MVP. George Mikan, who is the namesake of the episode, last episode, ironically, is the Most Improved Player Award. So yeah, we'll try to be better at that moving forward. For some reason, it just totally slipped my mind. I thought I should at least mention it. And then the other thing is Joe Mazzulla, who is just going on a reign of terror with his quotes. I actually want to sometime have a segment where we just run back through his best quotes, you know, and just kind of break them down.
They're iconic.
Yeah. But his most recent one that caught my attention was the, I'll start the quote here. The phrase defending a title is a very passive aggressive term. If you look at the animal kingdom, some of the strongest animals don't defend. They're the most aggressive and they attack the most.
We're winning 70 games. I'm locked in. Let's go, Joe. The disrespect to the Jays, and then you got Joe Mazzulla. That's just going to be on full attack mode.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I don't care who you are. Game 1, game 12, we're putting 43s up, and we're hitting 25 of them. Feels bad to be you. Beat that guy. Oh, man.
Yeah, dude. My favorite thing about his quotes, to me, is just like, each of them, the best ones at least, just have this turn midway through them where it's like, where did this come? Why are we talking about this now?
Animal kingdom. There is a rest in peace, legitimately, to Mike Leach, passed away recently, past couple of years. And he was also known for these press conferences that would just go, like, he talked about jackalopes once and Sasquatch came up and just iconic. And Joe Mazzulla is stepping on the grounds of iconic. If he sticks around, like if he becomes this long-term like coach that we just all know for the next 25 years, there's going to be some all-time liners that might even top the ones we've heard. My personal favorite so far is, Joe, did you see the royal family? The only family royal family I know is Mary, Jesus, and Joseph.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I'm like, wow, Joe. And then I hope I see the red dot on my forehead. That was another one.
Yeah.
Animal Kingdom. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good one.
One of my favorites is in the finals when being asked about the black head coach thing, like how it's Jason Kidd and Joe Mazzulla were the first two black head coaches to face off in like however long. And he was like, yeah, I wonder how many of those coaches were Christian. You know, it's just like a where is this coming from and where is it going type of turns.
Also, when he sleep, it was like talking about how he sleeps with the hostage tape on his mouth.
I don't know if I heard about that one.
That is another all-time one. Because this poor reporter person is like, kind of what's going on? And Joe Mazzulla's like, no, it's awesome. It's awesome. Oh,
I vaguely remember this now. Now that you say that. Yeah, it's only been 2 years, right, since Joe Mazzulla has become head coach, and he's already up there with the best of them as far as his greatest hits.
Not according to ABC Sports. He's the 11th best coach in the NBA.
Yeah, I'm talking about a different kind of list with this. Yeah, but yeah.
I know what you mean.
All right, but without further ado, I think we can hop into our big lists, which we are going to break the Hoop Theory trend in how we have been going through lists previously, which was starting at 1, going to 10. This time, we're going to actually start at 10 and go down to 6. We'll take a break right before 5, where we'll give our honorable mentions, and then we will go 5 to 1. All right, so I guess who wants to lead off? Do you want to lead this one off? You want to start at 10?
Yeah, sure. So I feel like after the fact, looking at this list as I'm stand here at the defendant stand set to defend my top 10, that I might have projected slightly some of the current players. Slightly.
Okay.
Not terribly. Actually, now that I think about it, there's only two current players on the top 10 list. One of them, insanely obvious. The other one's coming right now.
At 10. Okay, I think I know who this one is, too.
I also really, really struggled with 10 to 13. I struggled.
Like the order of the 10 to 13?
Yes. Or,
oh, okay.
Like I have
who should be at 10, basically?
Yes, which one of these four should be at 10?
I get you.
And I think I'm wrong. I'm going to stick with it. Mm-hmm. I have Kevin Durant at 10.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Steph Curry.
Steph was in my honorable mentions, which I also have written in kind of an order, but no real order. I have Steph at 12.
I also have Steph at 12. But I don't have Kevin Durant above him. But
so that spoils one of my honorable mentions. I just really was like, what KD does, like, offensively, and I'm not saying Steph, but like, it's more, and again, this might have been like little projecting, or this also might have been a little bit of my brain still writing off of gold medal Kevin Durant in those games. Maybe they should have given Steph more credit because of what Steph did. My brain was just like, I don't know, KD's insane.
Yeah.
Steph is too.
This is who is this right now?
I think it's the Twitter Jacob battles they got in that's messing with me a little bit.
Okay.
Those Twitter battles he fought on behalf of the good old red, white, and blue.
All right.
I think part of that's giving me like pro KD juice. I also just watched a tape of him getting shut down by Jason Tatum in the playoffs.
2022.
Whatever. And that also might be like, Tatum can put a clamps on a top 10 guy of all time.
So you want to make him higher.
So KD's like, it doesn't matter. We'll talk about it later. Maybe we won't. I don't know.
It's not too far. From where we have him.
I think he is definitely, it's like a shelf and then nine. I feel like nine up, for me personally, is like a different, that's a step. We talk about that a lot when we do our like tier lists or our rankings, how there's like a step. Mm-hmm. I feel like the step between 9 and 10 for me was like a pretty, it's not a huge step, but it was a line that I understood. I was like, there's a line there in my brain.
Yeah, I wonder which one of my top 10 that you don't put on that shelf, I guess.
I think I know which one it is, probably. The guy I have at 11, I'd assume. But we can talk about that when we get to honorable mentions.
I think I know who that is now, too. Yeah. All right, well, I guess I can get into my 10 now, after Jacob gave his pick of Kevin Durant. This one for me, number 10, is somebody that is one of the most volatile players, I feel like, for me. Personally, on where he ends up in my rankings, like he's one of the hardest players for me to rank. He has a giant range.
Mm-hmm.
He has this thing with him that it's like very bright side, and then very dark side, if that makes sense. And it's Wilt Chamberlain. He's the namesake of this episode, Wilt 100. I think 10. It's weird to not put him in a top 10. You know, I feel like he kind of has to be at 10. He's not too far from the player I do have at 11. Who is kind of almost like the modern day version of Wilt, somewhat. And so that's Shaq. I'll just get into that now. Shaquille O'Neal is who I have at 11.
Our lists are very different then.
You must have Shaq very high.
Not very high, but just not. We already have. Yeah. It's just like different.
I like that we decided not to make a joint list going into this, actually, given our picks against each other. But Wilt is who I have at 10. You know, I think his legendary numbers and records and all that kind of stuff, it's like unprecedented and untouched by most people. Jokic is kind of starting to dip into a lot of those areas. Obviously, there's some that are just still untouchable, like the points per or points in a game record. The points per game on a season record, which was 50.4, I believe. And then the rebounds in a game record of 55, I want to say. You know, all those.
Having literal double the possessions also helps, which is another thing that I also think, like, really messes with my viewing of Wilt. Because I'm like, yeah, I think that if you put, like, Jokic or LeBron or any of those guys that just naturally accumulate a lot of stats, but mm-hmm. just like, oh, times your possessions by 1.6 or 1.75. Yeah, those would be insane numbers. They would be nutso.
Yeah.
Like Wilt's were. Not to take away that he did it, because he did, but that also like messes with my brain on like, how high should he go? Should he be at 4 or 5, or should he be outside the top 10? Like, how does that all work? But I like the spot at 10 for him. That's close to what I have him at.
Yeah. And the other, you kind of mentioned one of the undersides or dark underbelly, there we go, of his case with the possession thing, possession inflation. I don't think it's quite that drastic. It's probably more like, I believe current day pace is like 100 and something possessions, low 100s. Back then, I think the highest it got to is like the 110s and then the teens. So it's not quite that much different, but it was also just the level of competition combined with that. And then also the big key with him was, at least this was the narrative of all the people that watched him and observed it, like all the basketball historians say that he was like this great player who just wasn't a winner, you know, there's in the way that Bill Russell, you know,
Embiid. Embiid. I coughed Embiid because whenever I think of a stat guy that can't win anything, I just think of Joel Embiid.
Yeah. Will Chamberlain was kind of that, like kind of the epitome of that.
But just better in every way. Even at losing, he was just better. But yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of the things that put him up here and the things that bring him down here, you know, if that makes sense. Puts him at 10. All right. So I guess we're going to go through it like how we, like a snake draft kind of. So I'll give my 9.
Well, my 9 is also boring because it's Wilt for all of the reasons that you said. So like same conversation again, why I have him at 9. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense. My 9 is another center. This one was famously, like I think the best sentence that can be said to epitomize or describe this guy's value is he was drafted over Michael Jordan and the Rockets are never given crap about it. That is Hakeem Olajuwon. The person that is, or the team that is given crap about not drafting Michael Jordan is the team that had the second pick in that draft, who drafted Sam Bowie, the Portland Trailblazers, not taking him because they had a shooting guard already in Clyde Drexler. But nobody makes fun of the Rockets whatsoever for not picking the GOAT.
It's like so much where you almost like forget that they technically took him before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because like anybody else, you're like, oh, who did they take? Who got taken before LeBron? Who got, like, not before LeBron, but like, who are the people that got taken in that draft? And you just kind of like, you know, they're in the same draft class, but you just forget that he went first because you can't be perfect, but that's about as close as you could get.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the best prospects in basketball history, I think it was the Bulls owner in the Last Dance documentary who actually said this. He said, if whoever had the number one pick, even if it was us, we were taking Hakeem Olajuwon. So, like, you know, that kind of speaks to how good that guy was, that he can be taken over Michael Jordan and is not really controversial. So that is Hakeem Olajuwon, one of the best defensive players ever as well. The Defensive Player of the Year award is actually named after him. Wilt's namesake award is the Rookie of the Year, I'd like to mention, going back to that. But Hakeem Olajuwon, though, the dream shake, when, you know, his signature move, one of the best just post scorers of all time, if not the best. A lot of guys who are compared to him modern day are like Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic, the way that they score in the post. Very reminiscent, kind of influenced a lot by that guy's moves down low. So that is going to be my 9. Also a one-time MVP, probably could have won more, probably should have won at least 2. The one that David Robinson won over him probably should have been his. But then also, if he wasn't overshadowed his entire career by Michael Jordan and had more, if he had like a stretch run where he could have been like the best player in the world, that is very realistic, you know, and he could have gotten more accolades. But that is who I have at 9.
My 9 was Wilt, as we've already kind of talked about. My eight is Shaquille O'Neal. Just because there's like a lot of people that talk about that played against Shaq that was the most unstoppable force on a basketball. It just wasn't as long stretched of insane as some others were. He just had this like two or three years where there was nothing that you could physically do to really stop him at all. Yep. Mm-hmm. You were just like, I guess we just have to take it and hope we can avoid him on defense. It just was, I mean, it's the offense that you always hear about the insanity, but obviously being Shaq defensively, he had a lot of, he was insanely impact. Good at defense too. A lot of impact there. So I have Shaq at eight for that reason. And I think that it's just like his peak was so insanely high that's because it gets really nitty gritty in these little pieces. So that's why I had Shaq at eight as opposed to lower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense for sure. That peak was about as dominant as you can have. That 3-4 year run, I'd say probably 2000 to 2003. I guess that's 4 years actually. Yeah, 2000 to 2003, winning all those championships with the LA Lakers, and also doing it with a teammate, pretty famously having a tag team, you know, partner basically with this guy that I have at eight. That is Kobe Bryant.
Oh.
Well, I guess what is that? I can't tell what direction that shock is coming from.
Nothing.
It was definitely something. Well, I guess
about it later.
Oh,
Kobe will come up on my list.
Yeah.
We'll just talk about which direction.
Okay. All right. So yeah, he's my eight. Obviously, like the second coming, if anybody can be called the second coming of Jordan, it would be him.
Mm-hmm.
Emulated a lot of what Jordan did. And also, this is the guy that I feel like most people listening who are not super into basketball, super into the history of it, like deep diving, all that kind of stuff, more casual fans using that in a not a negative way. Like, I know some people just turn on this podcast that I actually know in real life, you know, that aren't super into basketball. And you guys are probably hearing that and thinking, Kobe Bryant, that's like, I hear him brought up as like a top three guy most of the time. I feel like in iconography, if I can use a weird word, or like just legacy, he kind of is in that area, or fame.
And then if unfortunately his life wasn't cut short, just impact on basketball, I feel like he would be maybe that top three in terms of the impact. Because he's always been a big proponent of the WNBA. Like, I would have loved to see Kobe, like, as the WNBA has exploded to everybody, having him be, like, a part of that. I feel like that would have been awesome. Yeah. Obviously, just having Kobe around would be awesome. But, like, those things I think would be, in terms of the on-the-court stuff, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't have the sustained stretch of a peak like these other guys in the same type of way. He's one of the best players ever. Like, eight is an insane position for anybody to reach on a list. It's just, I think people mistakenly kind of put him into the like literal GOAT tier with Michael Jordan and with LeBron James, you know?
Yeah.
When I feel like that is a bit of a stretch when you actually look at with their accolades, you know, what they accomplished. Like, the only kind of area that he is with those guys in is number of rings,
which
when you break down the context of those rings, is not like exactly the same. Like we said, him being teammates with Shaquille O'Neal at his peak, like one of the most dominant forces there ever was, you know, just kind of a like unstoppable duo.
For some of his rings, you could argue almost all of his rings, he was not the best player on his team. The Shaq Kobe rings, he was not the best player on his team.
Okay, those three only.
That stretch, right? Yeah, sorry. Yeah. The other two,
I was going to say, are you saying Pau Gasol was better?
No, I worded that wrong. I meant the Shaq era rings. He just, I mean, there was games where he was the best guy on the court, but he was
undebatably not the best player on those Shaq title teams. Yeah. Undebatable.
Sorry, I worded that very poorly and made it sound like I was sick in the head. But yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess almost all, three-fifths is, you, by some definitions, almost all. So it wasn't necessarily wrong. I just thought you were maybe including another one of those in there. But yeah, so him at eight, I think, is a good spot. Also feels good because eight is just, that's a
his number. Know,
Kobe number.
Mike, it feels so, right.
Yeah, that is where I'm going to leave him, though. You already gave your eight, right? That was
Shaq.
Shaq. Oh, yeah. So Shaq and Kobe are our eights. That's also nice. But yeah, in terms of accolades, like one MVP, if for him to be in like the actual top three, you would need at least two, at, you know, at the very least. Having one MVP mm-hmm. hurts him there. But, you know, having the second highest scoring game of all time is pretty big. Albeit he was not playing for that great of a team at the time. So he was just kind of, you know, the epitome of like getting all of the shots that he wanted. So yeah, the context of his career is a little bit, it was kind of a little bit of a roller coaster ride. Some of it self-inflicted with the, you know, Shaq and Kobe pairing, the way that had to end because of the feud that they had between each other. Jacob's making a face here. He looked like he was reading something.
Completely unrelated. Diddy just actually got arrested. He is in custody now.
Nice.
Sorry.
Props to the justice system, I guess.
If all of the alleged things he did are true, then shout out to the justice system for doing that.
Well, there's security camera footage of at least one of the things he did, right?
I'm pretty sure. But there's also like real definitive evidence of a lot of things that they're fancy, rich, and famous, so they just...
Yeah.
Nah, it's not that bad. Like Tyreek Hill, like, yeah, anyway, doesn't matter. There's a lot of people that have, heck, maybe some people,
I was about to say, Kobe Bryant.
I don't want to bring up, but yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, moving on from that, number seven. I haven't been keeping track of like whose turn it is, but.
Do you want to recap where we're at so far for your list, and I will do my list so folks can know?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I have Wilt at 10, Wilt Chamberlain. Number nine is Hakeem Olajuwon, and then number eight is Kobe Bryant.
So then you can go into your seven if you would so desire.
Right now?
Mine first. I have KD at 10, Wilt at 9, and Shaq at 8.
Okay. And then my number seven is another RIP for this player. That is Bill Russell, the winningest player in NBA. Why are you making that face?
Nothing.
Bill Russell, yeah, that's who I have at seven. Considered like the greatest winner. And I don't know if I could say all of sports, but like it's certainly probably close to that.
Dang near.
11 titles in 13 years is kind of just crazy work. Albeit the league was very, very small at that point. Not only like eight teams for some of that stretch. But still, nevertheless, also just the impact he had on the game, according to, you know, a lot of people that watched him and documented his time in the NBA, the way that he would prioritize team success and like sacrifice personal gains, personal numbers, stats, and all that for the betterment of the team in a lot of ways. So also one of the greatest defenders, if not the greatest defender to ever live. Scoring is kind of the thing that brings him down a little bit, which is weird to say for somebody to be at seven and bringing them down. But yeah, the thing that does not get him higher into the list, maybe keeping him from being the GOAT, honestly, is the fact that his
kind of boring in terms of like today's standard of stats.
He didn't have a lot of go-to moves. Wasn't like an actual like really insane threat on the scoring side of things. A lot of his points honestly came in transition. And he was like kind of an off-ball cutter.
Or putbacks, like just...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hustle points.
He's the best role player to ever live. That's the way I'll put it. Bill Russell's the best role player of all time.
If a role player was your best player on your team.
Yeah. You can say that about like some stars today, even a little bit, but it's a lot less true because like they're still the actual star on their team also. But Bill Russell, when he played, he literally played the role player. Like if you watched the game, he didn't have the ball a lot. Like he was just kind of a part of things. He was a part of the offense.
Yeah.
But not like the center of it, you know, literally.
Defense is where he was like that guy.
The guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then on offense, he was a very important cog and very unselfish piece in it all that made it all work. Probably still the best player on the offensive end, but wasn't necessarily the focal point of the offense. That's the way I'll describe it. He's the best role player to ever play basketball. Bill Russell.
I made a face because I thought that I was like shedding my Celtics pride. And I was like, I'm going to, Bill should be lower than I think that I normally would put him. And you just took my thunder. You just swept it from under my shoes.
Oh, that's you didn't why think I was that I would so do that? Mad.
Well, I didn't think that we'd both have him at 7. That was kind of the bummer part for me, is it just was like, I'd like, okay, come on. Let's take away the we bleed green. Let's think. Let's be logical. Mm-hmm. And you took my thunder for all of the reasons. I want him to be higher so bad. So bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because of just everything he's done. Just win. Just win.
And to be fair, I don't think it's crazy for anybody to put him at 4. I think that's the top of his range.
Yeah. And that's these four guys that I have kind of got shuffled around with one another as I was like trying to make 4 to 7 to try to not to put my bias into it too much. But yeah.
No, fair. Yeah, for sure. So you also have Bill Russell at 7.
I do have Bill Russell at 7.
Mm-hmm.
At 6, I stick with the bigs. The most underappreciated man until about 10 minutes before we started recording, I had him at 4. Because no one gives this man the loves he deserves. It's the silent assassin, the dreadlocked man himself, post-playing. He didn't have dreadlocks when he played.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's funny that you remember him for that.
Tim Duncan is who I have at 6. He's a guy that I think gets like, if you were like make a list off the top of your head, you almost everyone would just forget Tim Duncan unless you make a specific point in your brain to be like, don't forget about this man. Because
mm-hmm.
It's just insane to think that he was just like so good for so long.
Yeah.
And it's not that he was like ever like the top. I mean, there was times where he was up there, but he was just like 8.9 out of 10 for 2 decades. Just the whole time. He was just top 5 or top 10 at the minimum in the league always.
And most of that stretch, he was probably top 3. It was like probably him, Shaq, and Kobe.
But he just always got put at the 3 or the, like, he was never, kind of like the KD syndrome.
Probably a couple years in there where he probably was number 1.
Also, another thing is he was in a market where, like, the media, also when they were talking about this type of stuff, probably would not have put him higher.
Yeah, that hurts him. Like, the Lakers brand helps Shaq and Kobe immensely. The San Antonio Spurs brand did kind of the opposite effect on Tim Duncan.
He was already kind of a reserved, quiet guy, and then he was in a reserved, quiet market, so it just like amplified the fact that he just was like, I show up and I hoop and then I go home.
Mm-hmm. And he did that better than anybody you could imagine. Like, he Tim Duncan, I actually thought about when I was making this list, I was like, I have to put Tim Duncan over Bill Russell because almost like Tim Duncan is basically the modern version of Bill Russell in a lot
where
of ways.
The teams where everyone around him that he was doing it to were just better. So you just have to give him, like, he didn't win as much, but like the whole Plumbers debate that people say they were playing against Plumbers.
Yeah. I see.
Everyone that he did it to is like kind of almost on this list.
And there's like at least double the teams in the league.
Yeah.
At least. Probably more than that for some of the stretches. So, yeah.
And we're getting into insane territory. It's not like we're like, this is insano to be like, yeah.
Like, if you actually copy and pasted and like the effect or the reign of terror Bill Russell had in his timeline and put it into Tim Duncan's era and like proportionally adjusted for like the level of the talent and like the amount of teams and everything, it would probably look very similar to what Tim Duncan's career literally was. So, yeah.
No, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah. So that's who I have at 6, and you also have here at 6.
I didn't know if you'd have him higher, because I know that like this is a guy that us as a collective are way more like staunch defenders of, even though we don't really need to because he's insane. But yeah. People don't give the man. It's like they flip Kobe and him in their brain always. They just always, where Kobe gets put by people, Duncan has more deserving to be there. And then where people put Duncan as probably closer to where Kobe should be. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I like that. I am surprised how similar we've been, especially these past couple. But well,
we're going to have some sort of an impasse.
Yeah.
Because unless I'm like doing my math wrong, there is like two people that are still wrong.
What do you mean? Don't spoil anything.
But. No, I'm not trying to. Unless I totally forgot somebody. Like, I think that there's two people that we don't have in the... Oh, no, I think I found them both. Yeah, we're good. We're good. I figured it out. We're not that different. We have the same top five. For a second, not in order, but the same people. I'm assuming. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I would be surprised if we did not. That would be...
Yeah, I missed one of my honorable mention inclusions, but not my top tens. When I was doing the math, to be like, there is a person missing. What's going on?
Was it Kobe? But,
that's the person I forgot that I do not have in my top 10.
Yeah. Okay. So that was the guy at the beginning that I was like, who in my top 10 does he not have?
And you were like, yeah.
And I thought I knew who it was, and that was who I was thinking of. So, that is who is in your honorable mentions at 11, correct? Because now that we're at 6, before we enter the top 5.
Oh, yeah. I have Keem at my 11.
I didn't even notice you didn't put Keem in your top 10.
Steph's at my 12, and Kobe's at 13.
So you had...
Keem at 11.
Yeah, but you in the top 10, though, you had...
KD.
KD at 10.
And okay, Shaq. And
then okay, so those are the two... Okay, that makes sense. I think I probably just figured out the thing that you were just talking about figuring out.
Yeah, we're like, there was a, yeah.
Yeah.
Our two differences were actually, ironically, not on the same one, but Shaq and Kobe, I had Shaq in the top 10 and you did not, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I guess, yeah, my honorable mentions were Hakeem at 11, Steph at 12, and Kobe at 13. Those were the three guys that I was like, I feel.
It just seems very shocking to hear Kobe Bryant's name at 13, but yeah. No, I get you. I don't think it's wrong. Any of the names that you said,
it's so hard.
Exactly.
I probably should have KD lower, but I think I'm just riding the high of the Twitter warrior in him.
Yeah.
Honestly, I probably should just take KD and slide him down 2. I don't think I'd. I probably should. I'm not gonna change it now. I don't care. I'm wrong, kind of in my brain.
It's not that offensive. No, it's not that bad.
No, it's not. I've done way more egregious things. This is nowhere near the most egregious thing I've ever done. But, so that's my... Kobe's at 13. And then what is your honorable mentions before I get to my list of guys that play today that, at when it's said and done, could be on this list, potentially, that are not already been mentioned? Like, guys that are... Pretty much it's exclusively younger guys or guys that are not Steph level yet in terms of historical significance. Or Kevin Durant. Shocker, the person that's in our top 5 that plays today, there's only one for me.
Mm-hmm.
But
he's like, he's basically feels like he already isn't playing anymore, but also is in a weird way.
Like his entire Lakers run didn't need to happen for him to be on the list.
Yeah.
Like he could have retired then and we'd be like, yep, he's up here.
So I actually have 35 names written down. I don't know if I should go through all of them as honorable mentions, but
do 5 of them and then we'll do a Patreon where you list them off and say why.
Well, I don't need to say why for all of these. I was just going to say the names, but I guess a little bit more in-depth rundown of the 5 names I have right outside the top 10. I have Shaq, I think, which I already said, Shaquille O'Neal at 11. Stephen Curry is who I have at 12. Nikola Jokic is actually who I have at 13. And I actually feel very strongly about it. I'm surprised that I actually was able to arrive at a spot that I was like, I like this spot for him. And I feel like it's just right. That's like, I wouldn't go either way with him. Like, I'm like, I can't put him over Steph yet.
Yeah.
But I also, when I compare Jokic to who I have at 14, which is Kevin Durant, I'm like, I think Jokic is above Kevin Durant personally. I don't think it's crazy for someone else to go the other way.
The disrespect for the big O.
You haven't even said, what do you mean? Oh, you mean for both of us?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because, okay. Because I thought about going more, but I didn't want to get too many names that I'm not, like, able to aggressively defend.
On my list of 35.
Hopefully you have him in your top 35.
Yeah. He's top 20 for me. Spoiler. But 14, yeah, I have Kevin Durant. And then 15 is somebody that I feel like might be even the most underappreciated. Like, I feel like he might be the most underappreciated player when it comes to all-time rankings. When it comes to, like, people just mentioning GOATs of, you know, in general, it is Moses Malone.
Mm.
Solidly the best player in the league for a solid, like, 3 to 5 year run in the same NBA that had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in it.
Which is a name that's going to come up, spoiler, yeah, down the list.
So yeah, the early part of the 80s, from basically 80 to 83, it was Moses Malone's world, and we were all just... we weren't living in it because we were not alive, but everyone who was alive was just living,
in it. Yeah.
Yeah. The greatest offensive rebounder by far of all time. And honestly, you could make the case as just rebounder in general. Was also the best player on a title team that also had Dr. J, Julius Erving, which is another pretty crazy thing. But he's who I have at 17, spoiler alert, is Dr. J. 16 is Kevin Durant, just to fill in the blank there. Or not Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is who I have at 14. I meant to say Kevin Garnett.
Big ticket, baby.
KG.
Yeah.
Is who I have at 16.
It makes me happy that he's the highest of that Celtics big three.
By a lot.
Yeah. It's like a giant gap. And then you get Paul Pierce somewhere. And then probably you get Ray Allen.
Late 30s, early 40s. I'd say Paul Pierce is probably top 50.
And Ray Allen. I would like to think he is, because people just forget that he went toe-to-toe with whoever. Names that we're going to say on this list, just not for as long.
Yeah.
But.
No, for sure. I guess I can come back to those other ones, though, those other names. I'll probably say them eventually.
Yeah.
What was your next list that you wanted to dive into?
So I have guys that are not, I don't think, in this realm yet, with the caveat of one that you've already said. So I have today's guys that could be in this realm someday. Jokic is the only one that I think that I would probably have top 20 already. I don't know if I haven't thought enough to be like, this is the spot I have him. But he's definitely top 20 without a question in my brain. Because we already talked about him. Is he like a Mount Rushmore center? Which already means he's like here. Because of how good centers have been. But then the other guys I have that I think someday could be here, Luka is, I think, the most obvious one.
For sure.
I have Wemby, because this...
Sky's the limit.
This, yeah. Whatever is above the sky, the moon, the limit is almost unfathomable for him. And then I said Jason Tatum because of his million championships that are incoming. So...
Million.
that last one was half a joke. No, 92% a joke.
I think I kind of fell asleep for the beginning of what you were just saying. Cool. Did you mention Giannis?
Oh, no, I just based him. I totally should have. Okay. I knew it was going to happen because I tried not to look. And what I need to do is I need to make a list and then look so I don't feel like I'm plagiarizing.
That'd be the only name I feel like that deserve to be mentioned.
You're totally right. He for sure deserves, honestly, to be like, if I would have put it in a hard order, like neck and neck with Luka. Because they've both done things already. Like, they've proven that, like, I'm able to do things that no one else possible can do at this time. Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
I think, I mean, trajectory-wise, you could probably project Luka to be above him. But I'd say right now, Giannis is probably above Luka in the all-time rankings.
Like, no one, we're done playing basketball forever. Giannis is higher right now than Luka. And then I didn't feel like there was any other guys in the NBA right now that I felt like, for sure, I mean, there could be some sort of weird outlier where somebody just goes, like a young guy that just goes crazy. I don't foresee it, but Wemby's the only guy like that I think, I feel like Cooper Flagg is that nuts, like moving forward.
Oh, yeah, projecting him further. I was thinking like somebody who's doing it right now, and if they got even a little bit better and did it for a long time. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
I feel like... like, Ant would have to have a lot of things go different. Like, I don't feel great about... just top 10 is going to be a thing that's like, will we ever be able to bring ourselves, no matter how good the NBA gets, that we will not call Bill Russell a top 10 guy. That feels insane.
I think we're kind of getting to that range now.
It's nuts though, because we have so many guys like Wemby, Jokic. There's guys that are going to be up here. We're like, are we ever going to say that Larry Bird's not a top 10? I won't. I'll die.
I'll check out. Yeah. I'm out of here.
For the audio listeners, I am.
You said it right that time.
I did. I didn't mess it up.
You passed like three times you've said video listeners.
Yeah. The audio listeners, I'm wearing a Larry Bird jersey.
Nice.
He will always be top 10, bare minimum.
Yeah. The hick of French lick.
Yes, sir. Stinking man. I wish somebody could have done his mom's driveway. So, just because what if he's number one? What if he just doesn't? What if, because he's a, anyway, we'll talk about him. I hope we do, or I'm going to fight you. I'm just kidding. We'll talk about him in a little bit. But yeah, is there anybody else that you can think of that's like maybe
of current guys? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. I just feel like
I think Ant's a good guy. You just tossed
like
out
the line. Like I feel like that's like. Is there anybody below Ant? Right,
I feel like
now
Ant's ceiling is high enough that I wouldn't question somebody being like, oh, he could be top 10 player. Like him being better than Kobe is like. Maybe
possible. I don't know. A lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And I also think it's hard because none of these guys in today's NBA are ever going to get the championship numbers. Never say never. I just feel like it is so unlikely.
Hard. Yeah, nowadays,
especially with the way they're doing the CBA, it's just going to get harder and harder.
And they're adding two more teams here shortly, which will make it even harder.
Is three titles 10 years from now? Like in this next 10 years? Is that the equivalent of what Michael Jordan did? That maybe not
honestly,
that extreme.
It might
with,
be.
With how crazy things are getting. And like, yeah, I just think that is something that someone will have to figure out, and it's just going to be brutal. But
I'd say like the bar that Jokic is kind of trying to reach, at least the first bar for him to try to reach, is Tim Duncan. That's kind of like the comparison that is often made is like Jokic is like the modern day Tim Duncan. For him to reach that level all time, like in rankings, for him to get like the same impact rings wise, I've thought about this before that like maybe the Nuggets winning three or maybe even two rings, if they're like it's kind of that at that point is where it becomes like somewhat equal to even what not that long ago, like 20 years ago, you know, Tim Duncan was doing because of the way the league is structured, the talent pool of the league, and also the number of teams kind of skyrocketed.
The all-time 2020 team would destroy almost anyone. Like if you were to take in a vacuum, everyone at their prime, the all-time 2020 team, whatever it ends up being, or 2015 to 2025 team would clean up. They would do well to almost any other era.
Yeah,
and
for
fight
sure.
Me. I don't care. That's just facts.
No, I agree. But I guess I don't know if I should give the rest of my honorable mentions list now before we get into top five, or if I should save that for the end.
I would save it for the end because I've got kind of a timer on today.
Okay. Fair enough. So we will hop into the top five. I guess I don't know who should lead it off.
I can lead it off.
Okay.
This hurts me a lot. A lot. That there is a Celtic in this top five, and there's three effing Lakers above him. That hurts me so bad. I have Larry Bird at five. Man, it makes me mad. But I just like the biggest thing that hurts him is longevity. And I think that's the only thing obviously, when you're getting down to this list, how nitty gritty it gets, especially with these next. Honestly, it's these two. They played each other like a lot because the top three is a different thing.
Yeah, this is a tier outside the next top three or not but, next top three, but the top three.
So I just like the longevity is obviously a big part of it. And yeah, I don't like it. I feel a little dirty that I said it in this order, but I try to take away my bias when I can. It doesn't always work.
I think you usually do, and sometimes I feel like you even overcorrect
like over
at times. Yeah.
And self-aware.
I would say that this is one of those times because I have Magic Johnson at 5.
No, what? I'm going to look like a hater. No.
No, I've said this actually for a long time. I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but like between the two of us, but I've said this to a few people within like past couple years now that I actually tend to lean Bird in the Magic and Bird conversation. Mainly just like looking at it, like who is the best player at their peak? Who would I rather have? Because they like longevity wise, you could say Bird's was a little bit shorter, but not by much, you know?
Yeah.
It's pretty comparable with, you know, Magic Johnson having the whole HIV situation. But yeah, Magic's peak though, it was longer than Bird's, but Bird's, the heights Bird reached was like, basically it was really LeBron and Jordan and Kareem territory.
Like, yeah, it was.
I might cut out that part because I just said the top three.
Well, you can, but I feel like the top three. Well, you didn't say the order necessarily. Maybe
necessarily.
Necessarily, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if people don't know that, that's the next three names.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. I guess I'll leave that in, but. Yes, that's who I have at 5 is Magic Johnson, because I guess this is kind of sloppy, but I'll give my Magic Johnson flowers here before I give the Larry Bird flowers, just to go in order. Magic Johnson, the greatest point guard of all time, obviously, have him here at 5. I am one of the people, though, that I'm like, I'm not super in favor of calling him a point guard at times. Now that I've developed a little bit more and matured a little bit, now I'm like, yeah, it's probably fine. Positions are what you want them to be. But, you know, he rarely was ever actually defending point guards. Point guards were never defending him. But in the sense of like what point guards' roles are on offense traditionally, he was the point guard, that's for sure. The best like point forward, you know, and the strictly those in those skills specifically, the best to ever do that.
The reason that every time anyone can kind of do that, his name is immediately brought up.
Yeah,
immediately.
Exactly. He is often, most people would consider him the best passer to ever live. I honestly would probably, you know, at gunpoint, I would probably put him number one. As much as I love Jokic, I would probably just default to Magic until Jokic's career is said and done. But the scoring aspect, which kind of like the Bill Russell thing, it's like, that's kind of a little bit of the part that hurts him. But Magic definitely was more of a scorer than Bill Russell was, having like a back to the basket game or scoring in transition, being able to, you know, run the floor and, you know, all that kind of stuff. The jump shot was something that was never really quite there. And then kind of the thing that separates him from Bird to me is the jumper. And yeah, so those are all the things about Matt. And also just the way that he would dominate and win at every level, won the title in college against Larry Bird. Which is just crazy that like their story is like, it's like too crazy to,
it's almost more than a movie. You're like, yeah. What is,
it's like, how is that real? How is that not orchestrated? You know, how did somebody not just like make this up? All the ways their stories intertwined with one another. And they were this just kind of yin and yang of one another going head to head at the same time in the same era. And also, the reason the NBA is still around today.
Those two put the team on their back.
Often credited as the people who saved the NBA. The NBA was at its very low, low point before they came along. Being, you know, the finals, the NBA finals were on tape delay. Didn't even show them live on TV, which is just insane to think about. But those guys made basketball appointment viewing in America. Which is just it's insane work to do for an entire sport, you know, to make it that big and made it grow into what it has become now. Obviously, some other torchbearers took that responsibility shortly after them to continue to get the league to where it is now. But it started really with Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. To give Bird his kind of breakdown a little bit also, a lot of the same things I just said about Magic, but just he's also one of the best shooters to ever live. Not necessarily like three-point shooters, but just pure jump shot shooters in general. Larry Bird's kind of like the epitome of that.
Also, just the swag.
The swag, just the attitude, the way he reads the game. He's the most, like, the reason why I love Bird so much, honestly, I think in my head is like, he's like almost like the perfect basketball player to me. He's like the wing version of Jokic. Like, he's so, they're so similar in the way that they played the game, saw the game, would pass open teammates and all that kind of stuff. That's just something that I think is so valuable in a basketball player. And he was like the ultimate peak of that. Also just the clutch factor. Hitting, like, that's also the other thing that separates him from Magic, is like down the stretch of games in the killer moments, Larry Bird is that dude. Like, he is capital.
He gets mad if he is not looked at as that dude. Uh-huh. Like, there is a clash on, like, in a team, not like after the fact, but like in a team situation, he's like, I'm getting the ball. We're not talking about it. Stop. Yeah.
And deservedly so. It wasn't
earned.
It's
it.
Not
yeah.
a. You know, he was right also in thinking that.
And there's just all these, I think that, and maybe not everybody sees the stories that I see just because of the Twitter holes that I'm in. But like, I'm going to beat you guys with my left hand and then just does it.
Yep.
Just things like that are just crazy.
Or shows up to the Indiana State basketball team tryouts with his friends all just wearing jeans and just completely ran the actual varsity team off the floor. Which is just, that is insane. That's one of my favorite NBA or any stories ever. Like, to do that is insane. Against a D1 college team, you just walk in with your friends and do that wearing jeans. It's just wild.
Yeah, man. What a guy. I'm gonna call in for work, I think, for a week when he passes. Emotionally, I'll be distraught.
I think that's a ways away, hopefully, at least.
No, it is a ways away.
Oh, yeah.
But
I think
like,
he's 67, bro, maybe.
That feels about right.
67. I thought I saw it earlier, so I was going based off memory.
No, it's in a long time, but I will take time off of work.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah, just preparing yourself now.
No, I like, there's like a bunch of people I have that for. Not like a week, but like, who's another
person? Charles Barkley.
That's, though, I'll be messed up with that one. Maybe not the same amount as Larry Bird, but there's some people that I'm like, dang, that'll suck. Toby Keith was one that got me pretty bad. I was like, dang.
Yeah.
I get like why like our parents are like, that person died? Oh, man. That's crazy. I don't know.
I never really had that memory, but.
With like rock star people.
No, not really.
Granted,
I guess I don't really
remember.
Our folks
are different people.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the way to boil that down.
But yeah, so that's the order that we did. I'm surprised that was the order, honestly. I'm surprised you put Larry Bird at 5.
I think
it's not wrong. I think Bill Simmons actually puts it in that order.
It is wrong. I think it's because I just did the thing that you literally brought up before we went into it.
Yeah.
Have I like over anti-Celtic myself?
Yeah.
To try to make sure that my list is objective.
Sometimes you go the other way. It feels like it's never in between.
I'm never right. I'm always too far one way or the other.
Yeah.
But it's okay. It's just part of the... And it usually honestly depends on like what I'm talking... If I'm fired up about it or if it's just like this. I feel like I overdo it when it's just like this. But if it's like Jason Tatum...
If somebody
slander,
says something bad about it, then...
I'm like, okay, let's be real here. Jason Tatum is the GOAT of our generation. Let's be real about it. That was a joke for folks that could not see my facial expression. But yeah, top three. This is probably the most boring top three ever. You, better than I ever would be able to explain why these individuals are... The top 10 in the NBA is the top three and then the seven. Like, it's not...
I agree.
It's not a... So yeah, at three... We agree. In concurrence, it is the former points leader, longest standing, the Goggles, had multiple names during his time in the NBA.
Yeah. Literal names. Yeah, I was thinking
literal
nicknames
literal,
at first.
But his literal multiple names. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is who I have at three, and I assume that you do as well.
I do. The surest 2 points in NBA history, Kareem's skyhook, which a lot of people... honestly miss they don't understand what a skyhook actually is. They think that's synonymous with a hook shot. Skyhook and a hook shot are not the same thing. A lot of people, when they're like, oh, I'm Kareem, you know, they just do it like a hook shot. The major difference is, you know, you're going straight up with your arm straight to the top, and that at the very apex, you're using the hook motion just in your wrist to kind of shoot the ball down a little bit. That is what a skyhook is. The reason why it's called a skyhook is because the hook is in the sky. It's at the very top. It's not the whole motion of the shot is not a hook. Those are two different things. But that's just something that annoys me that I wanted to clarify about this man's legacy. But yeah, that is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Lou Alcindor, as his parents named him. Probably the greatest college player to ever play the game. Won at least 3 titles at UCLA, maybe 4. I can't remember up top. 4 seems crazy.
By his own coach, he was called the second best player.
College player of all time? Behind Pete Maravich?
No, behind Bill Walton. Bill Walton. I believe Wooden called Bill Walton the best college player of all time.
That's kind of insane. It might be one of those things, it's a strategic thing, you know, where it's like the Steph and Seth Curry's dad, Del Curry, saying that Seth is the best shooter in the family. You know, it's kind of like one of those things. but still, Bill Walton, he's in my top 35.
People.
Yeah, which is a lot of people probably wouldn't put him in their top 35 because of how short his peak was in the NBA. But I'm just kind of doing this as like a basketball list, honestly, a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's why I have Julius Erving also as high as he is, because of most of his prime was in the ABA. But yeah, Kareem is also who I have at 3. And what you were saying about the order, the top 3 is the only real order that I feel strongly about, really. You know, like after that, it's kind of like the next names. I had a hard time narrowing it down. Like I'm like, I don't know who I have at 4. But like 3, if anybody ever says, oh, this guy's going to be top 3 all time, this guy's challenging, you know, whatever. I'm like, okay, well, that's Kareem. Kareem is 3. Oh, so
yeah, I was like, if anybody says not these 3 names, invalid. it's a gap. I don't want to like over dramatize how big the gap is, but it's a big enough gap. I know you're objectively wrong if you have somebody else in the top 3.
Yeah, I would say everybody else in the top 10 that I have, their range goes from 4 to wherever. Like, you know, 13, 14 range, whatever-ish, most of them at least. But all of their tiers or rankings or ranges starts at 4. Nobody's enters through, like, that's, you know, most of these rankings, I'm like, I could go either way, but this is where I've arrived at. Mm-hmm. But that is different for these 3. These 3 are like the concrete, this is where they are. And Kareem is that guy at number 3. For me, did lead league in scoring all time, like points total scored. He is also still the leader of MVPs. No one has won as many MVPs as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who has 6 all by his lonesome, which is just insane. And that's a number I don't know if anybody will ever reach.
No. And I do think the other thing that's crazy to me is how many of these people he played with. Like during that, just his like breadth of how long he played, how insane it is that, I mean, shoot, it's like he didn't play with LeBron. Not at all. But like the era before LeBron.
He played against Jordan. He played against Shaq, maybe.
Was he end of Russell? He was around for the end of Russell, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Kareem came in the league in 1968.
Yeah. Someone played against Bill Russell and Shaq and were good.
Close. I don't want to say he definitely played against Shaq, but it would have been close. I can't remember what year Kareem retired. I don't know if he made it into the 90s or not. But it would have been close. Late 80s was like his twilight years.
For sure
years.
He was there.
Yeah. I mean, he won finals MVP in 1985.
89 was his last season.
89
so he
was
did
his
not.
Last season. Okay. But the very fact close. That, Shaq was in college at that time.
It's just crazy.
Yeah. It definitely is.
Being good, the whole that's the thing that's like.
Yeah. At his very end, he was still like a top 10 player. Like kind of where LeBron is now-ish.
Yes, like the same type of thing. Yeah. And speaking of LeBron, would you like to give him his flowers as
number 2?
Both consensus have him as 2.
And yeah, I guess I take back a little bit the thing I just said about the concrete spots. Like, if you were to redefine how, like, what you're prioritizing in making this list, this is one that I can see, like, people putting LeBron at number one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's definitely a case to be made. And, like, the thing I will say is, if depending on the definition or depending on the rules of the game, I guess, that we're talking about here, it's definitively each other. Like, they're both, like, undisputably the go over one another, just in different areas.
It, depending on which lens you're looking through.
Exactly. Like, it becomes not a conversation to me both ways you look at it, but, like, it, you have to narrow down which way you're going to look at it. And for me, that is to look at the peak player. And that is the reason why I have Jordan over LeBron, is because I'm like 1988 through 92 or whatever kind of range you want to narrow it down to, is the best basketball player I think that has ever lived, is Michael Jordan. So that's kind of how I define putting him at number one. And so in LeBron, though, has the case for the longevity,
mm-hmm.
Standpoint of it, which is not like meaningless at all. You know what I mean? Like, the longevity standpoint of, like, somebody could argue, and I think would be right to argue, Jordan, if he played as long as LeBron has, would not be as successful as LeBron has been.
No.
Consistently. Because just the way they saw life and like preparing for games, and, you know, the way they dedicated to their craft, which obviously Jordan was very dedicated to his craft, but at the same time, he did things that was like, probably shouldn't do that if you're trying to maintain, you know, a healthy lifestyle and, like, maintain your body in terms of aging and, you know, things like that. Like, he would just be up till like 3 a.m. the night before a playoff game, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah. It's like that. This is football. Never mind.
Sorry. I was about to say up till 3 a.m., not just, you know, being awake doing nothing, but partying and, you know, doing substances that you probably don't want in your system when you're playing a basketball game. That's the key difference there. But LeBron, though, yeah, so that's what I will give to him, is that the fact that he went to 10 NBA finals in a row. Like, that's another thing that I'm like, that's one of those things I'm like, I don't know if anybody will ever do that again. Especially as the guy for all 10 of them, definitively.
No question, the guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
On both teams, honestly. You know, other than maybe 07, Tim Duncan, I was still better than LeBron in 07. But I guess that's not even in the 10. That's just an extra one that's outside, not even in the consecutive.
Yeah, because of the 08 break.
Yeah. Then he started to lose to the Celtics after they formed their super team. The first super team, a lot of people call it, which is definitely not true if you've looked at.
Yeah, that's crazy.
First, maybe modern era.
Yeah, the first one where it's like, we have one piece and we have the money. Come here.
Let's go make all these trades. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that is what I will say about that. LeBron being at two. And I kind of just gave the reasons why Jordan should be number one. I mean, he led the league in scoring 10 years. Also, that's another thing that I don't think anybody will ever do again. 10 years straight, I believe, also, of leading the league in scoring is wild to do. He has like 3 or 4 years where he was the finals MVP, regular season MVP, league's leading scorer, and won a championship. He did that like 4 times. He also won the defensive player of the year in a year that he won MVP. Also as a guard, is just wild. Only 2 other centers have ever done that. And he's a guard doing that. Those are all the reasons why I think that Jordan should be put at number one. Also, just the killer mentality, being able to, in the biggest moments, not kind of fall apart in the way that we've seen LeBron do a couple times, I will say. I think it's overblown how many times LeBron has not come through. But it has still happened a little bit, and which you cannot really ever. The only moment from Jordan that even comes close to that was like some crazy scenarios that's like, I don't know if you can even count this. This man was not even playing the sport of basketball like a couple months before this as a profession. And that was 1995 when he came back towards the end of the season in baseball shape, which is, for those who don't know, all bulked up, completely different type of shape than for playing basketball, running up and down a court all game. And then he was still probably, he was borderline the best player in the world for that stretch, but he was not, he kind of, a lot of people compare it to Muhammad Ali. I'm not like super familiar with Ali's career, but at a certain point, before and after point in Ali's career, where it was like, now he's not quite Ali anymore. Like, he's still like one of the best boxers alive, but that special thing that was like made Muhammad Ali different than anyone else ever.
Yeah.
That piece is just gone
from boxing for 4 years and or something like that.
Come back.
So it's like even more of a parallel in that exact same way as he was. Ow, that sneeze hurt my body. So yeah, I can't remember the exact, it was like 3 or 4 years where he was not allowed to box and he was just slower.
Yeah. When he came back, didn't have that same ability, but so Jordan had that, but basically just for the 95 season. Where he came back and was in the playoffs. He lost in the second round against the Magic, who are a young up and coming team that went all the way to the finals. Did get swept, unfortunately, against the Rockets, led by Hakeem Olajuwon, who was the best player in the world at that point. So yeah, that was like kind of the only moment that was like, oh, Jordan didn't just, despite all odds, do it anyways, you know?
Yeah.
After he reached the mountaintop, I will say that, you know, obviously he came up short a few times against the Pistons on his way up. But like, the biggest thing about Jordan's career to me that makes him the GOAT is that, you know, despite all, he had those battles back to back with the Pistons before he went over the top, made it to the mountaintop. But after he beat the Pistons in 1991, he never lost again. He just never lost again, except for the one exception that I just talked about and those weird circumstances of not even playing like a season, coming back and just deciding to rejoin a team right as they were entering the playoffs. You know, it's just kind of different territory, different standpoint.
Yeah.
But other than that, though, never lost a series again. Also, Michael Jordan never lost a playoff series that he was favored in, which is another thing that I'm just like, that is insane. That's just GOAT-worthy stuff.
And like, that's not just like the, oh, duh, they're like close ones where it's like,
also just the big thing of he never came up short. You know what I mean? Like, he was always did what either was expected of him.
Or higher.
Which is just, like, him as a first playoff year player in his second year in the NBA took what a lot of people would call the greatest team in NBA history, 1986 Boston Celtics.
To the brink.
In the first round where he had no one on his, like, Scottie Pippen was not in the NBA yet. I think Charles Oakley was the second best player on his team. Maybe Orlando Woolridge. It depends. I'm not going to go into a debate on who was the second best bull at the time, but one of those guys. And it was Michael Jordan. And that's still standing as the highest scoring playoff game in NBA history, 63 points in the Boston Garden against Larry Bird. That game where you see the, you know, like the quadruple between the legs and then jump shot in the corner, short corner against Larry Bird. That is that game. Also, the game that Larry Bird afterwards said, that was not Michael Jordan, that was Jesus or God. I don't remember which one he said, disguised as Michael Jordan. Or in basketball shorts, actually, I think is the quote.
But the other thing that I think is the fact that he is like, Kobe is the one that gets like, but like Michael Jordan is essentially what Kobe modeled everything after. He is like what we view American superstars as now.
Yeah, he kind of hurt the game in some ways, you could argue.
The same way that like Steph has a little bit, because everybody tries to be like, I'm going to hit logo threes. And there's people that crash out on a rebound now. This is an overblown, I kind of know what you mean.
But I think Jordan's, it was a long, the thing that we're basically just coming out of now, it feels like, that like in America, the way that, and in sports in general, almost the way that Michael Jordan changed the way kids and people growing up like viewed sports and viewed like being great at something was like, I'd have to do it all myself. Like, I'm betting on me. It's just me out here. It's like Jordan's like one of the, it's like the only case in which that was like true, or basically, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or it was like, he did that. And like, even though you could argue is like, what if he played more of a team centric team style of game, would it have been better? It's like, I, who knows? Like, the fact of the matter is he was like, I will put all of the load on me and still beat you every time. You know, he like reached the highest anyone has ever reached into that department. And then that he just made every kid try to become like him. And it was, and it made it in a way that it was like detrimental to team success and the way that people play with, you know, along with their teammates, made it much more of like a single person type of sport. And also like from a branding and culture standpoint, also like that was the way it worked. Like he was the beginning of sneaker deals. If anybody has seen like Air, the movie,
yeah,
he was the beginning of those kind of branding deals that it became, you know, it was at back then it was weird. It was like basketball is a team sport. You can't market a basketball player like a tennis player.
Yeah.
But now, like looking back at that, that quote is like, it's almost laughable because like basketball players are almost branded even more like tennis players than tennis players are now as like solo acts, you know?
Yeah.
But, and Jordan is just, he's the reason for all that. So, mm-hmm.
Shout out to Matt Damon for believing in Michael Jordan.
Yeah. Or I don't remember, Sonny.
What's his last name? I was just making the joke. I should know the name of the guy, but.
Sonny something.
Sonny Vaccaro.
Yeah. That's a great movie. If anybody hasn't seen it, you should. I'm a big fan of that one. But anyways. All right. We need to get out of here. Jacob has other duties to attend to, and we've been cooking here for a good amount of time now. So thank you for listening to the past 99 or now 100 episodes, hopefully. I doubt anybody has, but that would be cool if you have. But yeah, just want to thank everybody. Love that we have reached this milestone. Appreciate everyone who has gotten us to the point that we are at. Check out the Patreon or the Buy Me a Coffee if you would like to do that even more so. And those links are in the description, as I said at the beginning. All the stuff I said at the beginning, do that. Thank you for listening. Stay happy, stay healthy. We will talk to you guys next episode.
Peace!